Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Here on Bet Sweats, Joe O, Sammy P, welcome in our buddy Jason Lockenford to talk about everything that we saw over the week, over Thanksgiving. Like, I still think that was a headliner. Jason, we're sitting here talking about the Bears and what they did, and we didn't have time to ask you off air about the Ravens. I mean, Thanksgiving, Good Friday was easy. No matter what underdog, whether it's three, whether it's seven, they win outright. We also saw an amazing upset yesterday with Carolina, but I do want to start with the Ravens and Lamar. Three more turnovers for him. It's been a while since he's had a passing touchdown. Like, I know they're leading the division, but what is it? Zero? Is it a matter of just everybody's close, or is it? Are you looking at it and saying, no, like, this team is not a threat at all right now?
That's not a good football team. When they face quarterbacks, starting quarterbacks this year who have won a playoff game, they've allowed 14 passing touchdowns, no interceptions, five sacks, a 110.7 passer rating. They don't have any pass rushers. They're not special against the run. And the offense, it's a bottom five first half offense now going back over 2 months. Like, you can take it back to like week five. They average 7 offensive points per first half. They averaged 3.7 yards per carry in the first half of games since week 7 for all the just more Derrick Henry is the answer truthers out there. Wow, they run Derrick Henry a lot on early downs and especially early in games to set a physical tone. It doesn't work. It puts the injured quarterback and their crap offensive line behind the sticks. The Justice Hill injury is massive. It's just massive. He's the only running back they can really trust in pass protection. I know Derrick Henry took a screen pass 40 yards in that game. There's a reason Derrick Henry has never seen the field on third down, going back to the heights of his prowess with the Tennessee Titans. Now he probably has to. They're in a bad way. Now Pittsburgh's arguably worse. So I mean, the door is ajar for the Bengals. Like, the Bengals defense is a tick better. They certainly can play the most carefree Cavalier football. Like, they've got nothing to lose. Like, Mike Tomlin, it's tight sphincter time in Pittsburgh. Harbaugh, it's tight sphincter time in Baltimore. Like, Cincinnati, their season was over 2-3 weeks ago, right? I mean, everybody was saying, why did Joe Burrow even come back for this? So, I'm old enough to remember them in the second half last year. Now, they still lost more games than they should have, scoring 33 points a game. But they've always been a better second half of the season team than first half. And they get Baltimore coming to them in 2 weeks. I think Burrow throws for 350 in that one. So who knows, man? Your guess is as good as mine, but Cincinnati was a historically bad defense. Like, not by this season standards, by the history of the NFL up until 2 weeks ago. Pittsburgh, they're a mess. Baltimore's a mess. Somebody's going to win the division and host a playoff game. Whoever does, I don't think is going to go particularly far in the postseason, but the door is ajar. Yeah, I made a lot of money on Thursday night. I had the most inventory on that game of anything on this board. and hit everything. And I'm already looking forward to the rematch in Cincinnati because I don't think much is changing.
Kansas City is 6-6 now. They've lost 3 of 4, but they're still favored to make the playoffs. Why?
History. I mean, the Reed Mahomes thing. I mean, the same reason 2 weeks ago I put money on them to win the division and to make the Super Bowl going into that Denver game. Because you've seen it happen so many times. You just believe that whenever they need a win, they'll get it. Now, that hasn't been the case, and we've got empirical evidence on Thursday. I mean, they were outplayed by Dallas. Like, the better team won that game. There's no two ways about it. There's not a lot of creativity to the offense. There's no pass rush. Like, that's another team. Like, they're like Baltimore. The quarterback's not throwing touchdowns, not because he's all of a sudden stinks, because when the field gets tight in the red zone and you can blitz their offensive line and get away with it, or you can get pressure without sending numbers, and their defense doesn't get the kind of pressure that you can get on them, it's going to allow a lot of teams to stay in games. It's why they play all these close and late games. And there's been regression there. And after winning 17 straight of them, now, you know, not every break is going their way. Now Mahomes is healthy and Lamar's not, so there's a difference there, but neither offense has an identity right now. Neither offense has a calling card. Neither offense gets explosives. Both offenses have too many negative plays. It seems like they're hunting and pecking. Like, it's not an orchestra. It's like, let's try to ride the trombones for as long as we can. And then let's try to ride, you know, the dude on the xylophone. And then let's try to ride, you know, the clarinet. Like, it's not all playing together. Like, it's not like we can. When those offenses are at their best, you don't know how to bet them, because literally any receiver, any potential receiver, and I don't mean wide receiver, it could be a running back, could be a fullback, could be a tight end, could be a wide receiver. Anybody could be the star at any given moment. Now, it's a whole lot of volume for Rice in one place, and it's like a bunch of underneath balls to Zay Flowers, and oh, God, we hope he gets yak. And that's their offenses. There's no designed explosives. There's no in the flow of the game, seven-step drop, hit somebody for 45 yards down a seam. No, and the run games are inefficient.
For the first time that I can remember, I look at these current 1 and 2 seeds right now after 13 weeks of the league, and I can honestly sit here and say that the teams that would barely make the playoffs with the last wild card spot and the teams that are right now on the outside looking in, I don't see much of a difference. And we've joked for years that this is exactly the parity that the league wants. Is that accurate? Like, you've talked to people in the league. You've been doing this for decades and decades now. Is this what they want, where there's almost no difference between the playoff and the non-playoff teams? I mean, the playoff teams with high seeds, too.
Yeah, I think it's what they want. You know, they keep adding sample size because they think in a league that's structured towards parity, that is basically – economic socialism for billionaires. We're all going to make more money the more we add. And it's probably, right, because it's such an injury sport and there's so much attrition that things start evening out. Let's add other variables to it. Let's play a game on the moon. Let's play a game in Madrid. Let's play a game in China. What's that going to do? It's going to level the playing field. What happens in those games? They're usually under games. They're usually pretty close, like, unless it's an extreme variance, like between, like, unless we're talking about a 15-point spread. Yeah, like, let's let more teams into the playoffs. Like, of course, yeah, then everybody's got something to ostensibly play for. No, I think it's, like, they call it parity. Like, it's mediocrity, you know? It's like, parity sounds better. It's a buzzword. I'm sure in their, you know, marketing polling that they do, people respond better to parity than they do meh. But there's a lot of meh football teams in this league. The difference this year is there's fewer potential super teams. You know, I feel like in years past, even before that 2023 Eagles team fell apart, it was like, well, they're not that great, but when are they going to lose? You know, and we said that about the Chiefs last year. And, you know, the New England thing was obviously real. The Kansas City thing, I mean, they're in the AFC Championship game every year. So there's always sort of been that super team or super teams, or, you know, Brady's hanging on. Can he still do it? Like, I kind of feel like we're between errors right now. But not many of these quarterbacks have actually broken through. Like, I don't think this is the year Lamar breaks through. I don't think this is the year Josh Allen breaks through. Maybe it's the year Jordan Love breaks through. But yeah, I think it's, this is all by design. Like, this is all by design. And they're all sitting there, you know, on the gravy train, just the rich get richer.
December 1st on the calendar, and the Chicago Bears are the one seed in the NFC. How do you explain that?
You dominate the fourth quarter. You dominate turnovers. You steal possessions. You're going to win a lot of football games. I mean, again, the whole league is parity, right? So the whole point of this league is make the margins as slim as possible and try to get the worst roster and the best roster together. I mean, who's going to play the toughest schedule? We don't play a balanced schedule in this league. So that's what it's all about. So it's a four-quarter game. Most of these games are going to be a score, two tops in the fourth quarter. If you dominate the fourth quarter and you dominate takeaways and your quarterback isn't a turnover machine, you're going to win a lot of football games. And then there's that, you know, when you get a real head coach in your building for the first time in forever, people respond to it. Now, sometimes it's a one-year blip, you know, Washington, although hats off to them for playing hard for the first time in a while last night. But, you know, I don't know. Is it going to be totally sustainable? Are they a new juggernaut? Like, I don't know that I'm ready to go that far, but Ben Johnson has made a drastic difference in how they prepare and how they practice and therefore how they play. And I don't know if the turnover thing is going to regress next year. History would say it probably would. The fourth quarter thing will probably regress a little bit more to the mean. Maybe not entirely. But for now, on this magic carpet ride, I can't fade him anymore. Like, I had Devontae Smith 60-plus receiving yards and Eagles money line. Like, that, I had that little parlay. That's all I had on that game because I haven't been able to back the Bears yet, but I also stopped fading them a few weeks back, and I lost again. I think they're going to win some more football games. I think they'll probably be a fairly tough out in the playoffs. I don't know that I'd buy that defense entirely in the playoffs as presently constructed. But they're obviously going to get there. They've turned the corner as a franchise. There's no doubt about that. And you haven't been able to say that about them in a long time.
Monday Night Football here with Jason Luck on Fora. Let's talk about that because we've got a 7-point spread. There's a lot of these 7-plus dogs that have been winning outright this week. We were talking about what happened with Thanksgiving, with Black Friday, and then yesterday with the Rams too. But you did have some big dogs that had no chance in the game. You had Seattle, Minnesota. You had the Chargers, Raiders game. We got a big point spread here. What do you think about Giants, Patriots tonight?
I don't know about the Patriots covering the number. Like, they played a lot of close games. Like, they don't win a whole lot of games by more than like 5 or 6. I know they did the job against the Jets, but that's a divisional opponent. There's familiarity there. I think they're going to win the game. Like, I've got some yards and touchdowns tied to money line. Like, I think New England gets to 24 points. I don't know about the 27.5, you know, 28 that's out there, but I'm bringing the team total down to 23.5 and pegging that to some things. The Giants are always giving up 24 on the road. New England's pretty much scoring 24 at least a game. I think it's an over game. I mean, my favorite thing about the game probably is just the over. I mean, the Giants are over in 6 of their last 7. Those games are going over by 10.5, 5.5, 10.5, 14.5, 24.5, 10.5. Darts back. Does he run as much? I don't know, but he's going to chuck the ball downfield. The Patriots are over in 4 of their last 6. 5 of the last 7 Giants games have gone over 51. Giants road games average like 53.16 points per game. 4 of the last 5 Patriots games are over this 46.5. So, I do think we get that trend continuing. You know, I don't know why Henderson wouldn't be able to do a job here tonight against a Giants rush defense that's so bad at pretty much everything. I mean, they're going to win the quadruple crown probably. Most touchdowns allowed on the ground, worst rush defense EPA, worst rush defense success rate, and worst yards per carry, 5.9. So that's sort of where I am on the game.
Who's winning the Super Bowl, Jason?
I hope Green Bay
yeah,
for personal reasons. for college tuition reasons, I hope Green Bay. man, your guess is as good as mine. I mean,
no idea.
I think there's a tier of teams, you know, that could do it. You've got to be somewhat balanced. To me, you got to have an offense and a defense. You got to have an O-line and a D-line. Like Green Bay checks that box. You know, Denver checks that box. I mean, do the Eagles check that box right now? I don't know if I can check the box on the O-line. Like, they got to get a lot healthier there. Got to be able to run the ball and throw the ball. Like, you know, I don't know. Does Indianapolis check that box? Like, not really for me anymore. This could be a year where something crazy happens, like the Houston Texans, something like that. Like, it really could be. Like, you know, how about a Green Bay-Houston Super Bowl?
It certainly feels like it. I'm having just as difficult a time looking at the playoff picture and saying, okay, who's the fraud? Right? Like, there's probably going to be some changes maybe. With teams on the outside. But, you know, for a while we were thinking the Chiefs, it's something crazy. How about the Cowboys? I mean, they look Cowboys a lot better right now.
The last 4 weeks, they are a league average defense, which is a long way because they were right there with the Bengals on your scatter chart in terms of any key metric through 8 weeks. Since week nine, they're league average in a lot of categories, including against the run. They're allowing 82 rushing yards a game since week nine, 4.0 a carry. That's a huge difference for them. It keeps them in games. Like, I never liked Dallas. You know that.
Yep.
I think Dallas wins Thursday night.
Woo! Dallas-Houston Super Bowl. There you go. There could be something like that, something crazy. All right, Jason LaConfora, check out his podcast. It goes live on YouTube on a regular basis. Wanna bet? Follow him on X at Jason LaConfora. Joe O, Sammy P. Monday morning market moves. We'll do college and the NFL right here on BetSweats.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Conference championship games officially set, even though we've known for quite some time what the matchup is going to be in the Big Ten, number one versus number two. But now everything else is coming to clear view. Welcome back. This is Bet Sweats. Joe O, Sammy P. We'll get to those numbers in a moment, but there's no denying it. When you have a college football story that viral, that you know, is close to the news of an entire NFL slate, like that's how big the story is. Like that's where you have to start. It's the number one story. It's bigger than all of these conference championship games getting set because we've got all week for that. The Lane Kiffin drama was a thing. It was bigger than I even expected. We knew it was going to be big. I think we all knew where he was going to go in the very end. But Sam, along the way, over the last, I'd say, half week, it took a lot of twists and turns that I was not expecting. And it kind of went from, I don't know, from get the popcorn I can't wait to see what happens next. To like, God, I really hate this guy. Like, he's a scumbag. He's a guy that I've rooted for in the past, and I like what he brings to college football, and I understand his value. I get why LSU is doing what they've done here, $100 million and all that. I understand it. I thought he brought a lot of good to the game. And in the end, I'm like, he's as despicable as any of them.
He's a villain. He's fully embraced that role. He's Darth Vader, right? That's what he is. And he has no issue with that because he's a narcissist like Darth Vader was. So the fallout was just incredible. I mean, all the Marty Smith content when they were throwing him in the ChatGPT, making him 100 years old, standing outside the Ole Miss office, them leaving. They took Lane's clothes out. It was on a rolling hanger and they rolled it out into the parking lot. The people booing and screaming as he's boarding the plane to Baton Rouge.
That's Weiss. That?
Oh, Charlie?
That's Weiss.
Oh, bleep you, Charlie. Just like screaming, just so mad. And the crazy part is, this is the best Ole Miss team maybe ever that has a legit chance to make a run of the college football playoff championship game.
Yes.
And he's leaving. Like, that's what I don't understand in this modern day NIL, pay whoever you want society. LSU is not as close to a national championship as Ole Miss is. So I don't understand. It's like why Cignetti didn't leave for Penn State. You know, Penn State wanted Kurt Cignetti. He said, I have a better program. I have a better recruiting path right now. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be undefeated, maybe 12-0, and I'm going to the playoff. Everything I've built, why would I leave? Well, because Lane just can't sit still. And Lane just likes to be, you know, in control of everything he does. Ask his ex-wives. Ask his ex-girlfriends. Like, he just wants to do what he wants to do. And he's always going to be that way. Okay, you go to LSU. And you don't win in the first couple of years. Then what? They're going to fire him? They're going to buy him out? Like, it's just crazy to think of all the possibilities of what could happen if he doesn't win there. And I mean, they were pulling up tweets where Lane was quoting Denzel Washington. Beware of destination addiction. The idea that happiness is the next place, the next job, or the next partner. Until you give up the idea that happiness exists somewhere else, it will never be where you are. And he quoted that tweet in 2021 and said, grass isn't always greener. Trust me, I know. Be where your feet are at Ole Miss football. They were digging that one up yesterday as he's leaving Ole Miss to go to LSU. The internet's just the best. For moments like this, for situations like that, it's the best. It's the best.
Some of his moves made a lot of sense. Like when he was in Bama, you knew he wasn't going to be long for that job. And he left early. He goes to FAU and Saban's like, get out of here. And he didn't let him stay for the playoff. And, of course, when he's at FAU having success, time heals wounds, whatever, okay, he's going to get a big-time job. Like, you knew he was going to be gone there. But how he left Tennessee after 1 year. And then he does get fired at USC. It's tough because I don't want to sit here and say that the guy, once you have success and you're in the SEC, you've got to stay at that school forever. He did spend 6 years there. Like, it's a good amount of time. But just the timeline sucks, man. Was it Pitino that was talking about this over the weekend? Like, just how they've got to leave early and you've got to leave before the playoff. The timeline is all jacked up with the portal, with the coaches, and how they've got to bolt and when do they bolt. And they've got to figure this out. I don't know what the solution is, Sam, but they've got to do something about it because they keep running into this mess.
Yeah, Pitino was laying out a case where, all right, they make the tournament. He makes a deep run. They get through that second weekend. Now they're in the Final Four. But here comes Duke calling. Mm-hmm. And he's got to entertain that conversation and those possibilities while he's also trying to prep his team for a Final Four. Like, the calendar just doesn't work. Mm-mm. And I also, like, I no longer want to hear ever again that it's about the players because it's just not. Like, okay, we finally paid the players, but the coach just left an 11-win team to go to a conference rival. Like, it's not about the players, and it hasn't been for a long time. Like, the coaches have continuously wielded the sword in college football and college basketball. And I said this the day after Nick Saban retired. This is why he left. Because he didn't want to deal with this. He had an autonomy. He was in total control of everything. And then when he felt that control slipping, he was like, I'm out. And for all the people that think, oh, well, he'll go back into coach. Why? Why would he go in this environment? I mean, Alabama was paying players when you couldn't pay players. Now everybody's paying players. Saban's like, oh, I see this coming. I'm going to retire. Like it's more obvious every day why the greatest to ever do it hung him up. Is it not?
Yep. You called that right away, and you are spot on. And every time you see him talk about this on game day, I think Sam was right on that one. Also, in this Lane drama, I don't know if he's a student reporter or just a young reporter. He threatens on camera to whip a kid's ass. Like, that's, he could say what he wants. That's what he did. And then in the post-game press conference, a different reporter explains he's not calling you a hoe. This is what the line is from. And Lane wasn't having any of it, even though he was caught. Like, he's threatening a kid because of something that he said on his podcast or his show or whatever. And Lane didn't understand what he meant, but that was insane. Like, that was another wild turn to all of this. On the field, going up to like a 20-something kid and threatening with all of the security around Lane, hey, why don't we go in this hallway where there aren't cameras, and basically saying, I will kick your ass. Like, that was another wild, wild thing. And that was caught on camera. Lane looked bad in a lot of ways over the last few days, but the guy just got $100 million. Can we play? Did you hear the Lane Kiffin song that was going viral the last few days?
No, I have some audio I want to play later on the show from Bill Cowher talking about this whole scenario. I did not hear the Lane Kiffin song. You have it?
I asked Jake to pull it. I don't know if we can play, but I'd like to play it and get your reaction.
I'm down. I didn't even know.
Lane Kiffin is a quit on his team and slipped out the door. Lane Kiffin is a Lane Kiffin is a he talked all that talk, but all them words was a joke. Look how word his man say he changed. Lying through his teeth, he a snake. Quit on his team on the verge of the playoffs. Sending cryptic tweets cause the love chaos. Gone, bruh, we gon' be just fine. Toxic ass coach playing games all the time. Lane Kiffin is a
not bad, right?
On his team, then slipped out the door. Lane Kiffin is a Lane Kiffin is a he talked all that talk, but all them words was a joke. Congrats to you, you're the college football.
I think that's good. That's pretty good. That's pretty good. You gotta play it the rest of the week. Blare that LSU Ole Miss game whenever they play at Ole Miss. Like, that's got to be played all game.
He also, according to Ben Garrett, who ironically enough is the guy that you're referencing, who had the awkward exchange with Lane. Yeah. Ben Garrett reported this from an Ole Miss player's dad. Lane basically came in after Keith Carter, who runs things at Ole Miss, and tried to feed the player leadership team about rallying around each other, and it's all about family, and they all told him to leave. And then Lane goes back in his office, and Pete Golding, the DC now head coach, not the interim, the new head coach, basically tells Lane, get out. This is not your office anymore. Yeah. So Lane wanted to openly leave, but then stay for multiple weeks and coach the team up through the playoff and then leave. But that gives you a chance to recruit everybody in that locker room or in the coach's room. If you're leaving, it's go time. It's bye-bye. See you later. You want to leave? Fine. But Lane is such a narcissist. He thought that he could tell Ole Miss he was leaving, and then he could stay and coach the team through the playoff.
That was insane.
That ain't happening, Joe.
Insane to think you could do that. And then – so it was going – another thing that was out there all over the place was there were players that recorded that conversation of the announcement of who's going to be the interim and the excitement with that team. I don't know. Is this good or bad for them? Could this be a good thing?
I think they're going to potentially lose a home game because Lane's leaving.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the real conversation. Is the committee going to look at Ole Miss now differently with Lane gone? Because it's not just Lane, it's multiple coaches, including the offensive coordinator. Other guys are going to follow. I would hate to see the players get docked for this because it's not the players' fault. But there's a chance where the committee looks at Ole Miss, downgrades them because Lane is leaving, and they go from hosting a playoff home game to going on the road, going to Eugene or going to Norman or wherever they go. I don't have the bracket in front of me. I obviously will learn more about this tomorrow. But what if Ole Miss gets screwed rating-wise because their coach abandoned them? That's even more messed up.
When we were talking to Felder about this a couple weeks ago, I threw that idea about them actually missing the playoff because you don't have Lane. And he's like, oh, well, no. Lane's not going anywhere. I'm like, dude, it's Lane. It is gone. Yes. In this scenario, with most human beings stuck, not going anywhere, coach to the playoffs, Lane's like, no. Yeah, that was wild. And some of those talks at the very end, I love how they probably did some stuff, said some things that they wanted to say for a long time to Lane Kiffin, whether it's the players, the assistants, and he thought he was going to take all the assistants too. How about that? Oh, I'm going to take everybody then. It's like, no, get out of here. So a lot of drama there. And we've got our championship spreads. We could spend more time on this, but as long as we're talking SEC, let's talk about this number. It is Georgia -2.5. Against Alabama, the total 47 in the hook.
I still need some time to do some work on these games. I lean to the under in that game, Georgia Bama. Mm-hmm. I do. I also lean to Virginia. Virginia's a 3-point favorite against Duke. A couple other games. You got Ohio State, a 6-point favorite on Indiana. Western Michigan, 2.5 on Miami in the MAC. And another notable game, BYU-Texas Tech, the Red Raiders laying 13.5 against BYU. That's a big number, but Texas Tech is just loaded, man, loaded.
Yes, they are. What were they, 2-1 coming into the year? No, they weren't. That became the number. They were a little bit further down, but we talked a lot about this summer, all the transfers that they added there. It all came to fruition. They are a truck right now and favored by 2 touchdowns. Like, we saw them making the championship game. I don't think we saw them being a 2-touchdown favorite in said championship game. And that's where we're at right now. How about Duke getting in? And we still got the Miami fans complaining. Where are we in the playoff? You couldn't even make this game, but you should be in the playoff, especially with the way that you played in the second half of the season. I find that to be hilarious. Duke is in your spot, not you, Duke.
Oh, I can't wait. Felica has been having a meltdown again all weekend. He's been tweeting about Notre Dame and Miami head-to-head resume. And, you know, the Sagarin people continue to kill me. They talk about all this Miami-Sagarin love, and they keep ignoring that in the Sagarin rankings, Notre Dame is number 2. It's like, That's pretty important. We have a listener, though. We should talk about this on the other side. He has a 100-1 ticket on Virginia to win the ACC, and he's looking to make some money here. We should talk about this.
Yeah, a lot happening, a lot more to discuss. Joe O, Sammy P. Also, Monday morning market moves on the NFL on the other side. This is Bet Sweats.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hey there, we're Corinne Vienne and Sabrina Deanna Roga here to introduce our newest podcast, Crimes Of, a Crime House original.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, from crimes of the paranormal, unsolved murders, and more. Our first season is Crimes Of Infamy, the true crime stories behind Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we'll get you NFL, the Monday morning market moves, week 14. We're getting close, closer and closer, and the NFL is even more confusing. We're getting some tweets here, Sam. Sam, it is at SP Shoot. I'm at Joe Ostrowski. Show comp bet underscore sweats, but make sure you're following each of us, especially a few weeks from now, so we can let you know what the hell is going on. Mike Moreau, regular listener, he checks in. Talking about our conversation about Lane Kiffin, which I think is a great point. Something else that I forgot to bring up from over the weekend. Mike Moreau says, is it true that Saban and Herbstreit are represented by the same agency as Lane? They were tough this weekend in advocating for Lane to coach through the playoffs. That, I don't know about the agent. We can look that up quickly. That was embarrassing. But you know what? I'm used to it at this point. Kirk Herbstreit is constantly embarrassing himself. He is so brutal. Watching Bears-Eagles on Friday, him being on that Amazon broadcast, it's just like, God, I see real analysts that are tweeting about the game. I'm like, you should be doing this game, Greg Olson. Someone of your stature, not Kirk Herbstreit, a guy that just kind of does NFL on the side. It is so infuriating. And yeah, just the guzzling that we see by Herbie towards some people in college football. He embarrasses himself every time I see him on TV, man. He used to be an analyst that I respected, that I liked, and I no longer respect him. I don't like him at all. I find myself, and I've told you in recent weeks, I find myself watching less and less game day.
It's time for another facelift, I think, for Herbie. Needs a little bit more work done, I think, in the face. What do you think?
How old is he? Because the hair, nothing has change. He hasn't aged one iota. But
that guy's plastic. He's plastic, yeah, at this point. Like, if you don't know that, you're just not paying attention. Like, that guy's got more work done than
he's
like 56? Women I know. Oh, well.
Wait, okay. Yeah. Okay. Sure. But no, he was all those guys were like all about backing Lane Kiffin. It was ridiculous, and with his antics, I don't know how you could do that.
Yeah, I mean, clearly there's a fraternity there. You know, the power wielders in college football are mostly represented by the same guy, so they're not going to say anything negative. Again, I have the clip we'll play later. What Bill Cowher said about Lane Kiffin, because Bill Cowher doesn't care about the politics of college football. He's just calling it as he sees it through the eyes of a guy who coached at a very high level for a very long time. One more quick thing on Saban, though. Like, Saban's made a couple comments the last couple years, and look, I'm a big Saban guy. I have nothing wrong with Nick Saban. But he made a comment about Kalen DeBoer earlier this season about how Julian Sain was like on the practice squad or something for a whole season, and Julian Sain was on campus in Tuscaloosa for like a month and then transferred to Ohio State. And they were showing highlights of Sain throwing touchdowns at Ohio State. And it was the highlight package. And Saban came out after the package was over and was like, yeah, that new guy at Alabama didn't even know what he had. That guy was just waiting in the weeds for a whole year. And the Alabama faithful came out of the woodwork and were like, actually, no. He transferred pretty early in the game, and Kalen did not have Julian Sain just sitting on the bench and waiting. Julian Sain got up, transferred. Like, it was a very short time that Sain was on campus for, but Saban was just throwing that out there, like, oh, well, how did Kalen DeBoer not know that he had Julian Sain? Sain was there for a cup of coffee and then left. So there have been some things on that set that have been said the last season where I've just been like, that's just not right. That's factually incorrect. You need another facelift. Oh, more dogs. Yay. Like, it just, yeah, I don't know, man. It's not my show anymore. I was a big David Pollack fan. I loved watching David Pollack. And now it's just turned into the whole, you know, McAfee and Desmond Howard. whole show is just McAfee.
You can't move on from Desmond Howard. You can't take him off the show. No, you can't. Yeah,
untouchable. I don't know, man. It's just, it's turned into like a WWE production where it's more about shock value and overproduced and like storylines more than actual tangible college football conversations, if that makes any sense.
Oh, it makes a lot of sense. And McAfee's ties to WWE, like, he has the power now. It's his show, which is sad. Yeah, I don't know. I forgot to tell the boys to grab the clip because I saw this over the weekend and it was time to move on, but it was also kind of sad. Did you see the Corso clip? Because he did a video interview and he's basically saying his life sucks now without game day and he can't watch. And, you know, a lot of times guys at this stage in their life, they're like, yeah, I'm enjoying retirement, this and that. He's like, no, I miss it. It sucks. I can't watch game day. And I didn't know if he can't watch game day because it hurts because he's not part of it, or it's just not the show that's when it was in its heyday with Corso, when Corso was the man. And I, you know, he should have been off the show for the last few years. I think we understand that, but that was tough to see that he's really missing it and he's having a tough time without it.
You know what, though? You bring that up. They had this whole thing. They had this whole, you know, show dedicated to him, and then they just moved right on, just like Herbie did with the dog. Just moved on. We're all going to cry. We're all going to have a good cry, and then we're going to move on. That's what they do.
He's so fake. He is so fake. Do you think he's got the video montage for the next dog ready to go? Like, he's got
like three dogs. Eight. Now.
I forgot.
So it's gonna be a while. Be a while before he's dogless again.
That's true. That's true. There's a lot happening with college, man. It really sounds like Fitz might go to Michigan State. I don't know. That's a lot of baggage. I wouldn't sign up for not in 2025. And what you get out of it, that is a lot of baggage that you'll be taking on. I think we all know he won the lawsuit. Okay, cool. And he can tell everybody that. Like, he was involved at a lot of bad stuff that happened in Northwestern, and nobody's going to convince me that he didn't know. These head coaches know everything that's going on.
Mm-hmm. I agree. But it's nice to see somebody give him a second chance. I don't know if it's going to work. Mm-hmm. Time will tell. He's going to have to recruit the Midwest, and now you're recruiting against Ohio State and Indiana and Michigan and all that. We'll see. I don't feel any type of way about it from a betting standpoint. We teased this going into the break, and I know we're going to do a little bit more of this tomorrow. We're going to do a segment on college football futures. But Mikey Betts, who has made some really solid future bets that he's tweeted us about, he's got a Virginia ticket at 100-1 to win the conference. And he asked about what we would do. And I like answering these questions and talking this out, but we need a little more time. Like, it's a big math thing. And I mean, I could give you my instant reaction, but let's just table this for tomorrow. He's got a ticket on Virginia, 100-1 to win the ACC, and they are a 3-point favorite in the ACC championship game. So I'd like to talk about that tomorrow if we can.
Yep. Let's make sure that we do that. We will do that tomorrow. A lot of movements. As far as the NFL, you know, I think it's worth bringing up that Dart is your second favorite for Offensive Rookie of the Year heading into the game tonight. Also heading into tonight, another market that could move, Coach of the Year. Vrabel's your odds-on favorite. He's around -200. Ben Johnson is the second favorite at plus 240, around 2-1 at a lot of spots. I find that to be interesting. So based on tonight's results, we could get some movement, coach of the year, offensive rookie of the year. And I was wondering about it, you know, all that chatter about Jonathan Taylor being your MVP. That is now dead based on what's happening with the Colts of late. But my JSN OPOY is live, man. Taylor and JSN, both minus 110 for Offensive Player of the Year. So we'll get into that tomorrow as well with the awards. As far as week 14, man, there are a lot of huge matchups. We've got Chicago-Green Bay. That game's going to happen twice over the next 3 weeks. You've got Pittsburgh-Baltimore. Based on who loses most recently, you keep having the leader in the clubhouse just kind of flip in and out, and okay, now they're going to be the four seed in the AFC. It was Pittsburgh. Now it's Baltimore after the Steelers lose yesterday. So that's going to be a big matchup. You've got Houston and Kansas City, both of them just trying to get into the playoffs. That's going to be your Sunday night football matchup. So a lot of big games coming up this week in week 14. And Dallas-Detroit is a real good one. Both of those teams fighting to get in on the NFC side. That game's on Thursday, Sam.
I tagged four games that have some pretty notable movement. So naturally, Mariota plays well on Sunday night. A nation watches it. Washington's going to be popular. So look ahead was Minnesota -2.5, and now Washington is a 1.5-point favorite. So a 4-point move, granted, through the zero, not that big of a move, but Minnesota 2.5 to Washington 1.5. How about Seattle? They pound another bad team, and they face another bad team. Seattle goes from 7 on the open. There's still a 7.5 at BetMGM, Joe, but Circa and Westgate have 8. Pinnacle has 8. Chris has 9. I think that one's going to climb. So if you want Seattle and you have money in the account and you know you're going to bet Seattle, lay the 7.5. Now, two other quick ones. Buffalo from 5.5 to 6 against Cincinnati, and they are betting the Texans. Look ahead here was 5.5, now 3.5. Kansas City only a 3.5-point home favorite against the Houston Texans.
A lot of fascinating conversations with some of these lines. Remember the last time Shador was laying more than a field goal?
Did they win
that Raiders game?
But
it's hard to bet Tennessee, but Cleveland -3.5, -4 at home. That Browns defense got roughed up yesterday. That's interesting. Boy, a lot of wild games. You know, Denver, they're not laying more than a touchdown at Vegas, but it's tough to bet Vegas. There's some dogs here. Like, you want to get there, but it's very difficult to bet them. How about Miami, man? Look at the run that they've been on. Soft schedule. They keep winning games. They almost lost it yesterday against New Orleans, but they found a way to just get by. And now they're favored coming up this week, taking on the Jets. So a lot of fun games to talk about. Monday Moons on the other side. Joe O, Sammy P, you've got Bet Sweats.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life.
all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. Just something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.